Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're coming back to a reality that a lot of you are excited about, the dying experience. What does that mean? How do we die? Where do we go? Does it all end? Well, a lot of you who have listened to a lot of my shows understand that I don't believe it ends. And if you're still listening, maybe you don't either. And our guest, again, is a woman who has written a couple of books on this particular subject. The last one she's written is The Fun of Staying in Touch, and has been on the show recently and is back, Roberta Grimes. Roberta, welcome.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
Well, this is so great to talk with you because I love the subject matter. And I know you do, too.
I do. Oh, yes. What's tragic is that so few people understand these glorious truths about our lives. The truths that aren't based in dogmas, they're not based in religion. They're really solidly based in science. And yet, because mainstream science doesn't want to think about them, we don't know about them. So it's thrilling to be able to help more people come to understand that our lives really are eternal. Our minds go on forever.
Well, what I find very interesting is that the mainstream doesn't represent this yet. And
right.
I guess we're trying to create a mainstream direction here. And there's so much in life that rejects this idea that life goes on. Religion, as you said, our culture, no part of our culture realizes this, or they might, but they don't want to talk about it. And so science can't even recognize consciousness.
The problem seems to go back a long time, even as far as Plato and Aristotle. At some point, it was decided that because religious beliefs, which are not, of course, factual, are based in someone's ideas about what's going on, we're interfering with the open-minded pursuit of the truth, which we think of as science. It seems to have been decided by those then practicing on both sides that they would just divide up all reality between them. You keep the spiritual part, we'll do the physical part, and all will be well, and we'll do the best we can for all of humanity. And that really worked well for, you know, probably many hundreds of years. But it doesn't serve us now. In the early part of the 20th century, there was a great effort made by the dead to make their presence known to us. And I think that there are reasons for that, and it's tragic it was not allowed to happen. What actually happened at that time was, rather than look at all the evidence being produced that the dead were still alive, mainstream scientist gatekeepers, which are basically those who, you know, fund the foundations and the universities, decided to create some, quote, fundamental dogmas, and they talked about them. Back then, you could find in print that atheistic materialism was a fundamental scientific dogma. Now, anything with a dogma is a belief system. So early in the 20th century, what they did was to turn science into a religion based in atheism. So basically, what we have now is just religions. The religion, which is science, we still think of as giving us the truth, but since it won't look at whole sections of absolutely demonstrated facts, it's not a science any longer. It's another religion.
Yeah, it's a dogma. But what's interesting is that the public in general is suffering the archetypes of this.
Yes.
They are unaware. It's not like they see, you know, that the king has no clothes. They are brainwashed.
Yes, because we still trust science. This is and we also trust religion, sadly. But this is less and less the case. More and more surveys show that at least Western people are less religious and more spiritual, and that's perfectly consistent with what's possible. I would argue that you can't be very religious and also be spiritual. I think they're mutually exclusive, just as being very science-based keeps you from being spiritual, because all of reality is spiritual, and if you insist on looking at it from a beliefs-based view, you're not looking at it in a true way.
I was speaking with somebody just the other day who spoke, had a deep conversation with a nun who said that there's a division among the nuns, and there are many nuns who have moved into a spiritual direction and see themselves strictly as spiritualists. And then the other side of the coin, there are so many nuns who are strict religionists.
Yes, yes, that is actually happening, and it's something that troubles the Catholic hierarchy very much. They don't talk about it much publicly, but this is happening actually in a number of the mainline religions, because people are having spiritual experiences, and people are coming to understand that reality isn't as they're being told it is. And the last bastion of holdout, really, is mainstream science, and it's becoming more and more desperate and ridiculous in its attempts to preserve materiality, how do you call it, materialism, as what's true about reality, because they themselves know it's not true. Scientific American is my favorite magazine because every time I read it, I can see new problems they're having, and I talk aloud to the magazine because I can tell them what the answer is based on what I've learned from studying the science of the afterlife. But they won't look at it still. That's the problem.
Every group has its fundamentalists.
That's right. That's right.
And so religion has them, and there are things they won't look at. Science has so many people in the world who just don't want to know anything but our five senses.
Yeah, and the thing is that our five senses really mislead us, and the scientists know that. Nothing, it turns out, is, quote, solid. And again, scientists know that's true. Most of reality is not even anything they can study. Less than 5% of the universe is what they study, and they tell us that, and they seem to think that's enough. But more than 95% of the universe is what they call dark matter and dark energy. They know it's there, but they can't detect it because it won't interact with or give off photons of light. And this is a big problem for them. It's easily explained by people who study the afterlife science. So there's a whole world of revelation that can come to science to answer many of its own most pressing problems when they stop stonewalling the evidence that our minds are eternal, because that's going to be the opening to so much new information that's consistent with what they know. Just more information.
So the big impetus here for us talking is what we understand as the eternal mind and how the mind works on many levels, that the unconscious mind is actually a very spiritual mind.
Yes.
Our subconscious it lives in a world beyond what our conscious mind understands, and yet that's a big part of who we are.
Yes, absolutely right. The evidence is overwhelmingly consistent in telling us that our minds are eternal. We never began, we never will end, and in fact, our minds are part of the same source energy, consciousness-based source energy that continuously brings forth the universe. Your mind is part of God. And that's something which the earliest quantum physicists realized they had discovered. Max Planck, who received the Nobel Prize in 1918 as a discoverer of quantum physics, said, human consciousness is primary. And he didn't say pre-existing, but I think the implication is there.
Right, that things don't exist unless we're conscious.
That we assume is true postulates consciousness. Their hero said this, and he said it 100 years ago, but still scientists ignore it. Imagine that. Isn't that crazy?
It's that they're not smart enough.
They're fearful.
Well, they're fearful because they can't comprehend it, and it confuses them and creates fear, so they'd rather just hold on to what the minimal information that they have.
Their problem is, too, that they want to feed their children. Their careers are based upon certain assumptions, premises, dogmas, which are frankly in error. For the past 100 years, mainstream science has been going off based on those dogmas in the wrong direction. So if there's going to be a major shift, and there will be, they'd like it to happen after their careers have ended, because they've got to feed their kids. I don't blame them surprise at all.
And so science is moving forward with or without these people, and so
but,
is...
but we're stuck with people like me, for example, and a lot of others who have day jobs, you as well. People who are just have had their attention just focused on and entranced by facts that we just, the more you study them, the more you realize you've discovered a whole new science. As you say, our minds, so much of our minds really are not even accessible to us when we're in bodies. Our bodies are limiters on what our awareness even is capable of doing. But the scientists call it our subconscious. It's really our superconscious mind. That part of our mind which would help us understand if we could access it, we would realize we are part of God. Imagine that. Isn't that fabulous? And the dead access so much more of that conscious mind than we do, that they're able to manipulate our reality pretty easily, which is what the fun of staying in touch is about, the things that the dead can do with their minds to show us that they're still alive.
Right, and we'll talk more about that, but I was just realizing something, that there's this battle going on with our conscious mind trying to maintain itself, trying to believe that it knows best, and wanting to secure its reality of its own limitation. And so it can't give way to the unknown of the superconscious, because the ego will lose feels like it'll lose control.
Yeah, the ego is a powerful problem as we try to develop our spirituality. Our rate of spiritual vibration will determine the level to which we are able to rise after our deaths. So, and that's what we're here to do, to raise our vibratory spiritual rate. And the ego is a limiter on that. So it's something we've got to vanquish. And it's tough, but it's going to help a lot once people understand the nature of their minds and the reason for their lives and the fact that they plan the hardships that we all encounter. We plan those. It's like going to the gym. Those are the exercise machines where we learn to better love and forgive. And that's all they are. I mean, even your horrible ex-husband or whoever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is that's your trouble, it's all stuff you planned in so that you could learn and grow spiritually. And knowing that makes it easier, I think, to tackle it and win.
Right. And once we understand these greater truths, we can let go. And the more we can let go in life, the higher we can raise our frequencies so we can connect easier with our superconsciousness.
Oh, yes. They lower their vibratory rates to ours as best they can. It's easier to go lower. It's almost impossible to go higher. But the more we develop spiritually, and part of that is letting go of grief, incidentally. Grief is a very powerful negative emotion. We need to minimize that as best we can. But the better we develop spiritually, the easier it is for us to stay in touch. I know people who are in touch with loved ones who died years ago and in touch daily. And it's possible to do that if it's important to you, but you can only do it once you begin to develop yourself spiritually and once you understand what's really going on.
Well, let's look at the world and our lifestyle, for instance, in the world, and how we hold on to different things based on our level of consciousness and what we want to live with and what we don't want to live with based on our level of consciousness. There's a lifestyle that awakened people strive for more than others.
Yeah.
Would you describe that?
The people that I know who have come to understand these truths, and everybody that I have ever found who has done the same investigation has come to the same conclusions. And universally, they don't care about material stuff, they don't care about money, they care much more about people. They're much, much more open to accepting negative things that happen, surmounting them, forgiving them, and just having the joy of loving other people much more intensely. I mean, they're the most beautiful people you can imagine are the people who have learned these truths and are living them.
Right. Their priorities are
more
them,
right?
About...
It makes you a nicer person. You should have loved yeah. me before. I was a terrible person before. I'm nicer now.
Good. Thank God for that. We all want to have our priorities set at a higher level because that actually makes everything else work better.
Oh, absolutely right. It's funny how the coincidences that turn out positively in your life happen much more often when you're in tune with the spirituality that is at the core of the universe. It makes your life so much more joyful and so much easier. And then when things go wrong, they don't matter. It's so amazing how that changes.
Right. I think of myself as a multidimensional consciousness, and I just want to be in alignment with all the dimensions at the same time. It's really about finding the flow and eating accordingly.
People understand that this is really not hard. It's simple to learn this stuff, and you don't have to. It doesn't have to take over your life. All it does is enrich your life. When you know that you are eternal, you never began and you never will end. When you understand that you're infinitely loved, that there's no way you can separate yourself from the absolutely perfect, infinite love of God, when you know those things for fact, it changes everything in your life. If you learn nothing more in this life than that your mind is eternal, it is part of God, and God loves you perfectly no matter what you do, it frees you from these fear-based dogmas that both science and religion plague us with. You don't need those things.
I had a dream last night. It's interesting. It was just this last night that I dreamt that I got shot, that I was in a group of people and somebody had a gun and he was shooting everybody. And you couldn't talk him out of it. There was no hope. And so I saw him pointing the gun at me and I went, okay, I guess I'm ready to go. And as he was shooting me, he shot me once in the back and my back and once in the back of my head.
Oh my goodness.
I said, okay, here I go on a new journey. Wow, this is going to be exciting. And I fell to the ground, and then I'm lying there, and it's like, well, so why aren't I in this new world? What's going on here? What happened? And it turned out that his bullets didn't kill me.
Oh my goodness, what a dream. That's terrible.
And he ran out of bullets, so he had to leave. And I'm lying there saying, well, I guess they better get me to the hospital because I haven't moved on.
Yeah, but that just tells you you have more work to do here.
Well, it's exciting. I think so. And yet, I certainly don't want to die and leave my loved ones behind only because I'll miss them from being part of their lives here. Certainly, when we're out there, we can see everything and be there and we don't lose out on seeing things, we just can't interact the same way. And that's a disappointment. And also their grief is also very difficult. They would not have me in their life. And so I'm not looking forward to dying so fast. I just know that from this dream that I have no inhibitions about it. I'm ready to go if it has to happen.
Well, the thing about death is, number one, we plan our exit points that our higher consciousness can take. When we do our life plan and plan all the griefs, all the good and bad things into our lives and who we're going to marry and so on, maybe which three people we'll marry in series. When we're doing that, we plan usually two or sometimes three exit points into our lives that our higher consciousness can take. Nearly every death, very few exceptions, will happen except at those exit points. Even in what seems to be an accidental death is a planned death. So obviously you were not in a planned death in your dream, and so therefore it didn't happen. But knowing how carefully we have planned our lives and knowing how much love there is to support us and to keep us safe and keep us even from being afraid, I don't fear death at all. In fact, people will say to me after I speak, perhaps at a venue or something, well, what if you found out you just had cancer? And I just give them a big grin. See, I don't look forward to having the cancer disease, but my goodness, to be able to graduate now would be a wonderful thing. This is just a bad day in school. That's all it is. And our eternal lives, and that's most of our lives, is what we spend not here, but we spend it in the perfect place we're returning to. So there's nothing to be afraid of at all. Death is the best time of most people's lives.
Yes, it's just, again, it's just the disappointment of losing the life that we're in that we might be attached to.
And yeah, I mean, but you know, you're having fun at school too, but when you get to go home, there's so much more there. That's the life you just put down briefly to go to school. And you don't lose the people that are in your life now, because you easily can lower your vibratory rate and give them signs of your survival. And once dead survive and are able to interact with us, they'll be interacting with you all the time. This is going to happen soon. We are in the process of developing ways to prove the survival of consciousness that even mainstream science will not be able to deny.
Well, I've told my family that when I move on, they should expect to get a lot of messages from me.
Yeah. Your dad's always going to be involved, guys, just so you know it. No, it's true. I'm a grandmother who's going to be a very big busybody to my grandchildren. They know it. They're used to that. No, well, it's all good. I just want to stress to everyone that it is not hard to learn these things and internalize them and really know them. And when you really know them, it changes everything in your life for the better. Cannot ever be fearful again once you know these things.
In the last show, I mentioned that at my son's wedding last fall, my father, who has been dead now for 55 years, showed up, and he was on the dance floor. And I didn't see him, but my guides were giving me a rundown constantly of what he was up to while he was there. And it was really exciting that he was there with us. And he had actually come to break bread with us. When we know these things, it's such a richness to our lives, and it changes everything.
Yeah, the dead do very often join our celebrations. They come for holidays and weddings, and but some of the biggest parties that they are excited to celebrate are when we die. I mean, we think of it here, we who are watching the temporary loss of a loved one feel bad about it, but the people on the other side of the whole illusory divide, those people are thrilled. Oh boy, here he comes. I can hardly wait to give him a hug. It's been so long. It gives you a different perspective when you understand that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that coming up sometime in a hopefully distant future, but I'm very excited about being with my folks again.
Yes.
So let's talk about what this is leading to in terms of how humanity deals with itself when it knows better.
Oh my goodness, everything will change. Most people who have no idea what's really going on live in the moment. They're trying to get money. They're fearful. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of things in their lives that they can't control. You really feel, like you're a mouse on the floor of the dark forest if you don't understand what's going on.
But also, what will death mean in terms of identifying with it, about it? For instance, on TV, in the movies, it's all about the killing, it's all about the loss. And the last thing we want to do, I mean, the worst thing that can happen to somebody is to die. And
But it's going to go to the core of our culture, and I'm really thinking about Western culture right now. I don't think that we'll want violent entertainments anymore, because your mind is where you live eternally. Just as you would not dump garbage in the middle of your living room floor, because that's where you have to live, so you're not going to dump garbage into your mind. As soon as I can only go by what the people who have learned these truths, the way they live now. I mean, for example, I used to have no trouble watching violence and cruelty and negative stuff, Game of Thrones, what the heck. As soon as I really came to understand all of this stuff, I stopped watching TV altogether, stopped going to movies, and unless I know that the movie is completely benign and lovely, reading things that are negative,
right.
I just stopped putting garbage into my mind.
I feel the same way. It's about not wanting to witness ignorance and stupidity of people who just don't know any better, and how sacred we all are, and to honor life and to honor death.
About it as a natural part of life. We will work out with our dying loved ones, how we're going to be in contact with them and they with us, and knowing that we're going to get there soon. Spouses will say to the dying spouse, "All right, when you design the house, why don't you add that sun porch we always talked about?" Because that's the process. We'll know the process. It'll be easy to know the process.
Because we can, right? Because we're out there, we can design houses.
Go and talk with our dead loved ones. That's what is going to make the difference. There are stations operating now where people are able to talk with their dead loved ones in real time by computer. And those are being worked on much harder on the level of the dead than on this level. Once the North American station is up, kiddos, there's just no way anyone's going to be able to say that the dead do not survive, because you'll be able to go to talk to someone who just died. Imagine the comfort that will give to a parent.
Right. What you're saying is very important, that there are going to be portals for us to communicate with the other side readily.
Yeah, it's happening now, actually. It's just not commercially ready yet.
That's amazing. And that,
so,
it's a very big...
So, good cheer, everyone. The good side wins.
Okay, wow.
But in true and beautiful wins, and wins eternally, and that's all we need to know for now.
This is so helpful and enlightening to talk with you. And I think that there are so many people out there who are just ready for this, ready just to appreciate life and death in a new, higher way that makes it all easier, makes it easier to understand life and to deal with life because we see the higher knowledge of our souls and the truth of our souls, of who we really are.
And we come to understand it has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with what's factual. And we can get past beliefs and get to knowing the truth. This is what Jesus, for example, and most of the other great religious leaders said we should be doing. We should find out what the truth is. And in fact, the truth is more glorious than we could possibly imagine.
And that's why I said I really love to live multidimensionally and speak with spirit and have communication with my spirit guides. It's really so wonderful. It's easier for them to communicate with us because that's what they're there for. It's harder for the dead ones to shift their vibrations so that they can connect with us as easily. They do that, but our spirit guides are more common to work with us.
It's a skill that the dead have to learn, like any other skill, but they can lower their vibratory rate, and some of them become very good at it. Being very close to us.
This is so much fun. And you have a book called The Fun of Staying in Touch. So everybody should run out and get The Fun of Staying in Touch. Or they can also visit your website. You have so many good things on your website. RobertaGrimes.com. And you have videos and also you have your own radio show. Can you tell us about that?
I have more than 200,000 iTunes podcast subscribers. Just look for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes on iTunes. It's free, and I interview a lot of people who talk about all aspects of these enormous topics. We all should be seeking reality, and that's what we do on Seek Reality. And starting in January, I'm on webtalkradio.net, which is a larger platform and a general interest platform, because I'm trying to help people who have no experience or exposure these truths to begin to investigate them for themselves.
That's great. Roberta, we have to sign off, so thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's wonderful talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me. And
sure.
I do answer emails. Just contact me through my website if you have a question.
That's great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.